This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
I still
believe that.
I jumped on it, didn't I? I still love that. I'm not a policeman, I'm a princess.
I love the Seinfeld reference.
You are listening to Family Matters. My name is Michelle. Dave by my side and Gina on panel. Oh my God, Dave can't cut me off.
I know.
Did he?
But I could punch you from where I am. If that's allowed.
Well, I don't know.
Huge thank you to Stand Up Straight.
Oh, definitely.
That was a great show. Did anyone else listen in to that
I did
show?
Listen in a little bit of Stand Up Straight. I noticed that there was a familiar voice on there.
They have amazing guests on that show, so. Sometimes.
They really do.
Our very own lovely producer, Gina.
Well, last week, if everyone remembers, we had David on The Informer, Becca on Stand Up Straight, and then it was us. It was like 3 hours or two and a half hours of our voice. Like,
it was family night.
It was family. So we're trying to invade
Gina
every
and I
show.
Have conspired in, like, we know that Michelle gets all the nominations and we don't. So
yes.
What Gina and I are trying to do is more quantity over quality. If we just try and be on the air all the time, we get nominated for something, surely.
We've complained about it in 3 weeks in a row, David. We're still not nominated for anything. Michelle's still got 3 nominations. Beck, and who knows, it's Adrian's birthday. He might just get nominated for having a birthday.
Just for having a blue sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And happy birthday. Hopefully you got a new sweater or something.
Yeah, we're a nice family. We gave Adrian his birthday. He was meant to be on tonight.
He was.
But it was his birthday. We thought we'll do the right thing.
Here we're talking fertility. We needed another parent here. And now I'm stuck with the kids talking about fertility. Kids.
Yes.
Okay. Let me talk about the birds and bees tonight.
Maybe
the trans birds and bees.
Dave, sure, I can't do a song.
Oh, yes. This is a song that I've chosen. Taylor Henderson. I love this song.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters. My name's Michelle. Dave to my right, Gina on panel.
Yay.
And we have a lovely guest coming in tonight, don't we?
We sure do. We have Anne Polinis, our resident fertility doctor.
Fertility. Now, Dave, how can they reach us?
Oh, yeah. If you've got any questions for us, the gang, or questions for our guests coming up, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. That is 0427569949. Or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
And since we're such a social family here, we have Family Matters at Joy on familymatters@joy.org.au, Twitter, Twits, Family Matters 94, or Facebook, Family Matters on Joy.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
get
go.
Your fingers
that was,
moving.
That was a good song, actually, David.
Good choice.
Only the best from me.
So.
What are we talking about?
Is this getting serious?
Dave just went serious. I'm going, whoa, what happened?
I've never seen serious Dave before.
You
look scared.
You haven't heard me on The Informer.
Oh.
I've fertility, transgender, probably two topics that I'm not particularly across.
Mm-hmm.
So I have done a bit of Googling today.
Yeah.
And obviously Michelle will have all my answers. But
what did you do, Dave?
I Googled everything I could possibly do. But
yeah.
The question for you, Michelle, is what makes you a bad transgender person?
Where did you find this list from?
It's somewhere on Google. It's probably posted in 2013 or something. It was on page 6 of Google search.
you dug deep for this one, didn't you? Oh, God. What makes me a bad transgender person? Oh, God. I break all the rules. That's probably why I'm nominated.
Do you have a butterfly tattoo?
I actually do.
Hold on.
Here we go.
By bad, do we mean stereotype?
I have a butterfly tattoo.
And that's great for radio. No one can see.
So by bad, do you mean stereotype?
I think so, yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Oh, look, I don't know. I'm not PC. I'm probably more Australian than most Australians, even though I'm American.
Yeah, you like football.
I like football. Yeah. I'll play footy. I'm playing AFL 9s. I'll get up in front of a room, do training, and I'll say the word tranny. I'm taking it back. I just
owning it.
I'm owning it.
I know every time you say, I'm like, I do get very uncomfortable.
But I actually find it makes people more comfortable in a room.
Yeah.
And they'll come up and talk to me afterward.
Really?
I know. I break the rules and people come up. No, look, most trans people get angry at me for it, I'm sure. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, yeah. So I'd break all the rules. I'll say my old name. I'll show old photos. I'll do all kinds of stuff.
And that's what I did find on the Google search. A lot of the questions was not what not to ask.
Oh,
do not.
Yeah. Are there any common questions?
Oh, God. The worst ones I get, though, is when I went to one of my places to do training, and I'm sitting there with these students, and I'm going, okay, I'm in a university. I'm going to get asked all these brilliant questions. What toilet do you go to? I'm like, are you kidding me, right?
Still, yeah. Yeah.
Like, who do you date? And I'm like, why? Are you kidding?
I think this is your voiceover is like Kermit the Frog.
I'm very good at the voiceover.
Actually, I was at the footy one day and I remember walking into the toilets and I walked in and I thought, far out, this is a really good toilet. There's so many cubicles. I thought, this is so good. I looked around and thought, where's the urinal? They got rid of the urinal. And then a female lady, oh, is that what it is? Walked out of the cubicle and she gave me this really strange look. That's when I realised I'd made a mistake. The MCD haven't made any upgrades.
I have to admit, since all this sort of, you know, the public debate about toilets and unisex toilets, and I've been getting a few looks because I am fairly butch and I've got short hair and I don't fem it up unless I've got a work meeting where I kind of half fem it up with my jeans.
Yeah.
Don't do the total denim look for those meetings. But I've recently got a few stares and almost kind of questions of, should you even be in here? And I think,
really?
Really? Just because I've got short hair?
Yeah. Well, in the States?
It's 2016.
In the States, because of all the transgender stuff, there are actually people will follow butch lesbians into a toilet and attack them or take photos of them because they're like, what are you doing in here? It's disgusting that you're in here. I'm like, they're women, they're lesbians. Like, they think that they're transgender.
Yeah. I mean, I know when I was, because I took my nephew, as I've said many times, and he broke his wrist today, the poor darling. But he's very happy that I'll just boil him rotten now. But when I used to take him to swimming classes, and especially when he was much smaller, I wanted those unisex toilets so that I could get him changed so that he wouldn't be uncomfortable.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and nobody else, because he's a giant. He is 11 and he's
taller than
me. Yes.
Oh, that's a silly question, Michelle. Everybody's
so
taller than Gina.
People would assume that he was much older than he was because he was so tall, yet he was just a little tacker.
Yeah.
And I wanted, and I would use disabled toilets just to be able to create a safe space for him to go into.
See,
and
I go in the toilets and no one really bothers me. I go in, no one says anything. They're like, oh, hi, da-da-da, and just in and out, in and out. And I'm thinking, I'm a moose.
You're more femme than me, though, Mitch.
But I'm huge. Like, I'm tower of everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone leaves me alone. But the funniest part, though, is taking my kids in the toilet. And so we all go in the girls' toilet. As soon as we go in right to the door, I look, turn around, look down at them, going, what are the rules? We don't say daddy in the toilet. What don't we say? We don't say daddy. What do you say? Michelle or something like that in the toilet. I'm like, okay, go in. I sit down, do my thing. Dad! Oh, fuck. And so I got to quickly kind of get...
I thought that was death officer. So with your work with LGBTI jobs, is all gendered toilets, is that something that's like an early step to try and sort of enforce into a workplace?
Yeah, well,
something easy?
It isn't easy. But it is easy, but it isn't easy. And so like one of the places I'm doing work in right now, they have a handicapped toilet. But the handicapped toilet has signs saying this is reserved for people with mobility issues and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing on there that says unisex on it.
Okay.
And I went to him, I said, you need to have unisex on there. And they're saying this is for people with gender issues or whatever. And they're like, oh, so next thing you know, the next day, everything was completely ripped down. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, yeah. No. It's really good. It's really good when companies actually pay attention. But yeah. I went to another one. And they were like, what do you mean we have to have a gender-neutral toilet or a unisex toilet? And I did the same pursing lip sync going, yeah.
That was my angry face.
Yeah. how common are all gender toilets? Like, I only know two. Here at Joy and Boston,
can I be
Boston
honest,
Legal, the TV show.
When I used to go to nightclubs back in the day, it didn't matter what was on the door because anyone just, you know, gay nightclubs, but it didn't matter.
It doesn't. But there's
one actually was usually a toilet for something else, and then that, you know, that other toilet just became
what's that
a toilet.
Something else, Gina?
That was,
well, yeah,
I think
Gina,
just,
what's that
I
about?
Think we've got to,
no.
You're listening to Joy. Family Matters.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David, and Beck. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. We're joined in the studio tonight by myself, David, Michelle and Gina. So we've got our guest coming up very soon. And if you've got a question for Anne Polinis, a fertility doctor, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. And this is the part of our show where we groove into our interview.
You're dying to say that.
I was.
Why didn't you bow? You should have bowed.
I bowed. Arigato gozaimasu.
Just because I bow.
Yes, you bow. So Gina has this habit of bowing.
And saying absolutely
and
a lot.
Yeah, so. And, yeah, yeah. And so our guest was there, and she said her guest's surname, Polinis, and she bowed. So now from now on, Anne, you're getting bowed too from us. How are you, Anne?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Now, I'm very curious. So give us a bit of background of what you do.
So I'm a fertility specialist and obviously happy to help anyone who wants help in extending or, you know, creating their family. So can do anything as long as it's legal.
A few years ago, lot of this wasn't legal. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you had Vegemite jars.
We had Vegemite jars. Yeah. Long story. I'll show you the
podcast. Get the podcast later. Yeah.
Without the Vegemite.
Yeah.
Now, look, I remember earlier days before transition and my now ex-wife and I, we talked about having children and all the things we were doing through from checking temperatures to she bought like these swabs and stuff that checked like her levels of ovulations and things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember going and having to have a date with myself and taking the sample to the...
Vegemite gel?
No. Well, sort of.
Okay.
And so, and I'm trying to think back of what I was doing then. And, you know, you have to go and put your sample in the jar and it's an awkward moment of going, I just have to get myself in the mood, yeah. You know, and then take yourself down. But now things are so different being trans and things don't work exactly the same.
Yeah.
So what are some of the obstacles you have dealing with some of the transgender folks?
I guess the main things are knowing choices and, you know, if someone is wanting to have a child, obviously they need sperm, eggs, and a receptive uterus womb, mm-hmm. And how to manage that. And most people, I think, if you talk to them and ask them, if they had a choice, would want some genetic link to their own child. So to see if that's possible and how go about it. And they do want to choose to freeze down some eggs or sperm, we're happy to help.
Now, just to clarify for everyone, Anne, we've actually got you to talk specifically tonight about the transparenting, but having a genetic link for trans people out there, because a lot of the people that we've had on our show are usually parents of trans kids, and a very common question that they kind of, or in our kind of chats off air, they often tell us, One of the fears they have, and they hate to admit this fear, so inside they do think, oh my God, I'll never be a grandparent, and they do worry about the hormone blockers and all that sort of stuff, and will that impact their child's ability to have children in the future? So I guess tonight a lot of the questions for our audience, we are looking at the genetic link for people who have either transitioned or about to transition.
Well, lack of a better way of putting it, the chopping block.
Yeah.
So.
Taking one for the team.
Taking one for the team here. Now, this is going to get a bit personal.
Okay.
Having a moment. Now, as an early trans woman, I obviously still haven't had lower surgery. And that's still probably not an option that I'm really looking into. Now, obviously, I've got my two children now. And one of the conversations that constantly comes up when I'm looking at dating or whatever, people talk about children. Now, I've had a vasectomy, and I've been on hormones now for 2.5 years. Obviously, at this point, nothing comes out anymore. We're trying to keep it clean here. So if I wanted to come to you to start looking into, I wanted to have another child with, say, somebody I'm dating now, what are my options?
Considering using your own sperm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're considering using your own sperm, if the sperm's not coming out, then we can try and get it by a biopsy, which doesn't sound pleasant, but is, you know, the obvious answer if it's not coming out on its own.
As long as you don't go the long route, we're fine.
Okay. So believe it or not, a lot of biopsies we do under a local anaesthetic, but, you know, it's possible to have a, you know, general anaesthetic if that was not something you could imagine doing, you know, to see if there's anything on biopsy first. And I think that's a good place to start because they can look at the structure, the structures that make sperm to see if they're still there and look like they're, you know, still have capacity. A common question that, you know, people are asking, do I have to go off any hormone treatment before freezing down sperm? I guess ideally, in the ideal world, which we don't live in the ideal world, the sperm take 3 months to grow and mature. So in the ideal world, they're not exposed to hormones like estrogen for 3 months. But because we don't live in the ideal world, you know, anything shorter than that is discussed. In fact, even not going off after hormones if that was the only option.
Yeah. So you just can, like, take one out, crack it like an egg and just go to town?
Like, thankfully, face keeps changing.
I know. I'm very fascinated.
Thankfully, not as drastic as that. That sounds a bit much.
Yeah. With hormone treatment, if a person's been on hormone treatment for, let's say, 5 or 6 years, I'm not sure exactly how it works.
The cells that make sperm may no longer function, even if you stop the
hormone treatment, or is it too late by that time limit?
Don't know unless you try. So if you hadn't had a vasectomy, you'd do an eject, you know.
And is there statistics on that? Is there a
or is it still new?
It's so not early. There wouldn't be there's not a lot of data, but it's quite likely that it's long term that it will impact sperm production.
Okay. So Dave, from the parent here, okay, once you go off hormones and then something comes out, you go home, you shake hands with yourself in a Vegemite jar and then you take it in, they check it, okay?
Can I ask though, if you've just started or you're about to start transitioning or about to start, and we're talking about adults now, we'll cover kids a bit later, but say you do want to go off hormones to give yourself the best shot of either freezing eggs or freezing sperm. Michelle, can I ask you, what would that mean to come off hormones even for a short while? Are we talking a couple of months? Like, would you recommend to a patient, if you want to give this a good shot and you've been on it for a few years, would you say go off it for a few months or a month and let's see how we go?
Yeah, I mean, it's always the patient's choice. So I think if they said, look, I really couldn't go for 3 months, but, you know, maybe we could look at a month and then do some hormone studies then, you know, let's just say you were looking at doing an egg-free cycle, for instance, going off the hormones for a month and doing ultrasound and blood tests to see what activity was and see if it was worth going for an egg-free cycle then, which involves taking 2 weeks of stimulation drugs.
Yeah.
But if it looked like there wasn't a lot of activity after a month, rediscussing whether it was possible to go longer off them because, you know, you can't keep moving the goalposts on people. No, if you say, look, you know, 3 months is the absolute total amount, then that would be...
And is 3 months, Michelle, off hormones a big... I have no idea.
I'm more talking from, like, the psychological effects.
Yeah. Oh. And I think most of the time, to be honest, we're happy to go with whatever the patient wants to do. Absolutely. So, you know, if they don't want to go off hormones and try first, sure. But then if it didn't look like it was going to work, then revisit the other options.
Look, I think... there's a lot of psychological placebo stuff going on there too, where people sort of freak out because they've gone off of them, because they finally got them.
Yeah.
Okay. But then there's also, I mean, I've experienced going on estrogen, the change in sort of emotions, the change in just everything from being not so much aggressive, but to then all of a sudden I'm like stopping and crying at the drop of a hat. So... Mm-hmm. If I was going to do it, I'd want to be monitored closely with coming down and being able to go and discuss it and probably talking to a psychologist at the same time.
So a question there would there be support?
Yeah, I'd never suggest anyone does it without, you know, good psychological backup.
But would fertility clinics offer that support?
Yeah, but most people who've come to us already have their own psychologist, so I wouldn't steer them away from that, person they trust and have been with for quite some time already. Mm. So, no, I wouldn't steer them away from who they're already seeing.
Mm.
I think that's they're their best ally, really, in helping them.
Mm. Yeah, just make sure you're just monitoring closely. Look, it would be, I mean, I know now with being on what I'm on now, it's like I'm in like menopause. So I've got like the hot flushes. I've got like heat in and out of a room screw with me. I've got, you know, all that different stuff. So you can imagine going up and down from there. But we'll go deeper into that. Actually, we'll step away real quick and we'll come back.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters. I'm sorry, guys. I was paying too much attention to that. I wanted to see the DeLorean.
Focus, Michelle. Focus.
Come on. Okay. Family Matters, Michelle, Dave, Gina, and our lovely guest, Anne. Hi, Anne.
Hello.
So we're talking about hormones and going off hormones.
Yes.
Now,
what does that exactly mean?
Okay.
To come off? What's the early signs?
Well, I probably don't think it's really any early signs. Not many people really go off them.
Yeah.
I've only met one person who detransitioned as a trans woman back to heterosexual male.
Yeah.
And after 10 years of being on hormone therapy, they were still able to go and have a child about a year and a half ago with their wife. So it doesn't mean that you go completely infertile, but people freak out thinking that all of a sudden, like, beard will grow back or breasts will go away, things like that. Once things are developed, they're not going to go anywhere. And it took months for, like, I think a good year for the full development of things to kind of come around. It's not like it's going to go away overnight. You're going to become like this big burly man or whatever again.
So with the hormone treatment, I'm
You're
so naive
at me.
In this.
Anne's over there.
Yeah, I know.
No. David,
but I'm so
have
naive.
No idea.
When you go on the
my eyes appear dead.
Yeah. When you go on the hormone treatment,
yeah.
What are some of the early changes there? And then also when you come off, what are the early changes there?
Okay, Dave, it's like going through puberty, right? So you start developing breasts and you start your skin changes and all those sorts of things. Okay.
And it's different for everyone, I would expect.
Right.
I would expect the time frame is probably different.
It's so different for everyone.
I'm completely guessing, and again, looking to our fabulous fertility doctor here.
The thing is, things don't just develop overnight. It doesn't. Not something that happens, like, say, you know, I start them on the 4th of January, and then all of a sudden the 9th, I've got double D's and everything. It's
and you're ready to freeze stuff.
And I think that's what Gina wanted me on the show for, to ask these kind of questions.
I write them, you say them. No.
She said, dance, monkey.
So back to our lovely guest. How long can people freeze their eggs and sperm? Is there a time limit on that?
There's no actual time until they want to use them, obviously. But it's common that people choose, say, the first block of 10 years, which is the maximum you can choose without, you know, re-committing or re-consenting to freeze them for another 10 years. But, you know, you can obviously thaw them before 10 years if you want to.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the block of time people would look at to start with.
And there's no deterioration?
Correct.
No. Is there a cost associated?
Yeah, so there's an annual fee of storage, which I think probably would be about around $300 a year.
Wow.
And if you're a little bit stingy like I am, can you just use your own culvinator at home, your own freezer at home? What are you laughing for? Save money, don't we?
So you come over and I make you a gin and tonic. Straight, David.
No ice.
It's just like...
I can see it now. David's defrosting his freezer and you pull it out. Yep. How you going, boys? And put them right back in there.
No.
Don't need those peas. Don't need that frozen chop. Oh,
I'm letting you put any ice in my drink. Again, David.
But it's possible.
Dave,
you can freeze sperm. People have done it before they invented, you know, the commercial freezers, actually.
What's the timeline there? What's the history timeline there?
About 200 years ago, people discovered they could freeze sperm in snow and then thaw it out and the sperm would start moving again. Obviously, when microscopes were developed, they could see them because you can't see them with your eyes.
That would have all started with an Eskimo kiss, wouldn't it?
Dave, if you ever serve me ice and your ice is foggy, I am not drinking your water.
Can I just say, it was a sunny day today and everyone was eating ice cream. Everyone just started just freaking out, wearing shorts and eating ice creams. And
Gina's
relax,
having visuals.
People. Relax.
Gina's having visuals.
Slurpy machine.
Sorry.
Completely off topic.
It's not free slurpy day today.
Completely off topic.
Can a child under the age of 18 preserve his or her fertility?
Yeah, I mean, I think... the main issues are a much younger child, like, yes, legally, of course, you can, as long as if they're a minor, they're meant to have their parents' consent if they go through surgery. So for freezing eggs, you know, you could get a court order if the parents disagreed, but you'd have to have parents' consent if you didn't want to get a court order. But for freezing sperm, it'd be very straightforward. For children who haven't gone through puberty yet, they won't be ovulating, like releasing the eggs or
sorry,
producing
Anne, is
the
that
sperm.
When they're on puberty blockers, is that right?
No, just for well for oh, any okay. children. So yeah. if they hadn't gone through puberty yet before they go on the puberty, when they go on the puberty blockers, so yeah. Then it would be a matter of discussing with them and their parents as well whether they would consider going off the puberty blockers to go through puberty to produce eggs and sperm. That would be something they'd have to do to be able to do that.
One thing I've noticed through all the work I've done in the community, I'm finding you see stories of trans men who I always learned that testosterone was stronger and you just needed fewer shots of it and it just did so much more. Where with estrogen, you constantly have to have, you know, pills and whatever to keep it going. But I'm finding trans men just seem to fall pregnant so much quicker and easier, where there's trans women I've known who've come off of hormone therapy and they still can't even get anyone pregnant, the person they're trying to get. How is there a difference between this, or is there a difference between the anatomies? I'm very curious on this. Every other article I see on trans stuff in the news, there was another trans man getting pregnant, or there was one I think we had here of a trans man breastfeeding.
That was the Time article. Yeah.
Testosterone's a hormone that is present is necessary. Well, some of it is necessary for egg development, even. Mm. But yeah, having a lot of it is probably not ideal for egg development. But it won't necessarily suppress ovulation in some people. So it is possible to get pregnant if they're still ovulating, but estrogen will suppress sperm function, but there may still be some sperm around, but maybe just not enough because there's millions of sperm, but there's only one egg released at ovulation. Mm.
What do you recommend people do? I mean, if they're wanting to start this process, so again, talking probably about an adult that has met someone and has always wanted to have a biological link, like Michelle was explaining before, to the children. I assume Michelle's probably seen a GP. Do they just come into a clinic, or do they go and look up a fertility doctor, or do they go and speak to their GP, or do they just go off hormones and go, right, I'll just do a test from home? What is the best process for somebody
and
to
I'd
follow?
I'd have to say, and this is falling over from the stuff I've done over the past 3 years from my other show, and I don't mean to interrupt on that one.
No, go.
But anyone who's transgender who's listening, do not just stop your meds. Mm, you must see a GP and follow it properly.
Mm. Mm. Someone's giving them and helping them and supporting them in the transition and supplying them with medication. So it would be ideal if, you know, in conjunction with their therapist and doctor, that they get a referral to me or a fertility specialist. I'm very happy to see any patients. I work at Rainbow Fertility that you may have heard.
They are a sponsor.
It would be ideal, yeah, exactly right, Michelle, to come in before considering going off any treatment that, you know, may or may not be necessary.
Mm. And do you find most patients present because they want to conceive themselves or they want to preserve their fertility, or a mixture of a bit of both?
At this point, it's people who are wanting to preserve their fertility. Okay. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that would be ideally, you know, they've made the decision, you know, even before they started medication, but if they haven't, then that's fine too. Awesome. But yeah, anyone who wants to come and have a chat really about their choices.
And is there a lot of cost, I assume, leading up to that? Or is this something you can bulk bill coming in? Is this something they need to really think about before even starting this process?
The cost of freezing sperm is a lot cheaper than the cost of freezing eggs. The cost of freezing sperm is pretty much paying for the frozen sperm.
It's producing going to see
sample,
Dave and
Vegemite jar,
and asking for room in the freezer.
So I just come with a testicle in the jar and the glass of water and just kind of drop it on.
There's actually no room at the moment. Ice cream.
Paying for one consultation to organise it and then organising freezing it. The cost of freezing eggs is very expensive because it involves doing stimulation with IVF drugs that cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
Yeah, the drugs. Yeah.
So Are there issues with, you say the first step is to go and see a GP or go and see a fertility clinic. So are GPs equipped to handle these transgender fertility queries, these options?
You would hope so, but like anything, like no one can be good at everything. So yeah. Some people will make it, you know, their special interest and do other training and education and be really very much very knowledgeable in this area. And there are certain people in Melbourne who will be better than others.
Yeah, there's not as many GP clinics that would be
helpful
or trained properly to handle just even prescribing hormones alone.
Yeah,
and so we usually have to go and find specific doctors to go to get it done.
So how do you find a LGBT or trans-friendly and trans-specific fertility specialist like yourself? How does one do that?
I think it's generally word of mouth and websites that, you know,
that's
say
usually,
who's... Yeah,
that's usually as we're getting a GP as well. Yeah. It's usually word of mouth.
Just word of mouth.
So what is Rainbow Fertility Clinic? What's the option? Like, what's the best... I can't even get my questions out tonight. What's happening?
What is it?
What's the point of difference between a Rainbow Fertility Clinic and just a general clinic?
Yeah. It's a really a safe place. That's generally the philosophy, that it's a more a safe place for people to come, that they don't feel, you know, that they're going to be judged or anything like that.
And because
it is specifically LGBTI.
Yeah. Okay, clinic. You answer that. Yeah. I thought, is it lesbians, gay couples?
Can you imagine me going to a normal GP asking about fertility? They'd be looking at me going, right.
I actually need to go to a GP and just get my knee sorted first.
That's not me. I don't do knees. No.
We're going to extract something out of here, Dave.
Can't you write me a script for... No. It's called Voltaren.
Pain persists, see, doctor.
All right, while Dave gets his knee looked at, we're going to be back shortly. You're listening to Family Matters.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy. So, Gina.
Yes.
How are you?
Yeah, good.
Dave?
Is this the time where we groove out?
I think we're grooving out.
And thank you so much. You've actually been a wonderful guest. I think we've asked all the silly questions. I think Dave and I kind of were like, we don't know how to ask these questions. Mish, are these okay? And I think, that kind
Look, I'm glad because, you know, it's something, like I said, it's something that is brought up constantly when I'm out and about. Everyone's like, okay, so what does it mean, you being trans? Can you still? And... Yeah. It's really cool to, thank you so much for giving us a bit of insight on that.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Anne. Absolutely our pleasure. As I said, not too scary to come in and do interviews with us. And tonight we did talk about trans fertility, and we will be looking at fertility for lesbians. We're also going to be looking at being a donor, a male being a donor for lesbian couples. So we are going to touch on the fertility topic quite a bit, but we just wanted to tackle this one first because... It's not a common question, but it is a common question coming from our advocates like Joe Hurst, who we had last week, wanting to talk about the importance of their kids because they are going on hormone blockers and then, you know, they're fighting in court. We're seeing them in court wanting to be able to have the right to consider having surgery, not as late as currently is legal.
Look, we've covered this topic quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, and I'm beginning to think we need to add to our logo an empty Vegemite jar with no label.
I think so. We'll cover anything.
I know we're preaching to the choir here, but why can't the world just be a better place? Why can't we accept everybody? Why can't we include everyone?
Can we all just get along?
Exactly. Yeah. Why can't we just get along? Is there a difference between, with your job working in workplaces?
Yeah.
Is the world changing? Is there some sort of level of positivity?
We're getting there. We're getting there. And it comes down to just education. But it takes patience on both sides. And that's one of the things I'm really trying to push back into the trans community as well and saying, hey, can you just slow down and can you just listen? And then what I'm talking to most of these workplaces as well, I'm actually finding women are some of the best LGBT advocates we can find and we can have. I'm talking cisgendered, heterosexual women.
Yeah,
where it's still a bigger sell, especially on the trans front, with most heterosexual cisgendered men. And so that's probably the bigger thing we've got to deal with.
I'm interested in what we've been talking with Anne about tonight is if you do have, like, surgery to the max, and I hate to use that terminology, but you've almost ruled out. It's as simple as you must have eggs or sperm to make blah. But if you have that surgery, that allows you to get a birth certificate now? So there's some sort of...
Yeah, so there was an article in today's yesterday's Star Observer by Matthew Wade. Transgender diverse people across Australia are pushing for state parliament's upper house to pass reforms, allowing them to easily change the gender marker on their birth certificate. So that's actually 20 all in the upper house. But how important is for a transgender person to have their right MF on their birth certificate?
There are a lot of people... Look, and how do we touch this one sensitively? When you look at things like murders and stuff in the U.S., that are going on. So murders of trans women are quite high in the U.S. especially. And there's a big stigma where there are a lot of cisgendered men who are actually interested in transgender women. And at the end of it, though, they feel ashamed and they tend to then attack the women and kill them. That's a big piece. I'm trying to nutshell this as best I can. And so a lot of trans women in general want to be completely off the radar. And that when it comes to work, they don't want to have unconscious bias in the workplace. They don't want to have these sort of stigmas in dating. They just don't want people to know.
Yeah.
And so if you got to produce any paperwork and it still has an M on it, people are going to be going, well, why does this have an M?
Which you have to for some, I guess, jobs or driving license.
Some jobs, driver's license, passports.
That's right,
all kinds of stuff. So especially when they're younger, you know, and you want to get that done. Now, surgery is quite invasive. Okay, I'm nearly 40. I'm quite comfortable with myself lower, but everyone's gender dysphoria is different. Okay, I don't want to have that surgery. Mm. It's really full on.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't go and get all of my paperwork done. I could have everything done except my birth certificate.
So how important is it to you personally?
To me personally, it's not. Like, I personally, to be honest, I'm leaving my birth certificate alone back in the States because I'm still showing respect to who I was and where I came from because I was born Daniel and I was born male. So for me personally, I'm leaving it that way as respect to where I came from and respect to my parents.
Are you an Australian citizen?
No, not yet. No. Just a permanent resident.
Yeah.
But that shows your level of resilience though in this space, and that's why you're in this space. But
of course,
you can
imagine most people be like, and if somebody else, most of the trans people in my space be like, no, I was never Daniel, I was always a woman. That this is my dead name, and some people can get quite harsh with it. And so for me, I don't consider it a dead name. I'm still Daniel, but I present as Michelle, and I am Michelle. I'm a trans woman and I know who and what I am. But because in the spaces I'm in, that's why I can do what I've done. So, where people want to hide completely. They just want to be treated as a woman or as a man and no one to ever know.
So is it the same as for like a gay couple or lesbian couple where we can't get married? And at the end of the day, marriage is only just a piece of paper.
Marriage is a piece of paper. Nobody's asking me to have extreme surgery in order to approve
my marriage. I know that, but I'm just saying.
I mean, for some people, marriage is like...
Yeah, but having a letter on your birth certificate changed... Mm. Getting married in Australia is very important to me, but at the end of the day, it's only a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But it's very important. I'm assuming that the letter changing on the birth certificate as...
Of course. And there are some people who really don't see having lower surgery as whatever. Now, I believe I can just, to have the letter change, I can actually go and just, I think, have my testicles removed. And I don't forget the technical name for that surgery, octa something or whatever it is. But... or an Aki, I don't know. Anyway, but that actually makes me completely infertile and then I can get that changed.
Yeah.
But different people have different views and thoughts on it and saying, well, it's still penis. But people can't get their head around that it's just flesh. It's what's running it and what fuel is behind it. So for me, I've got estrogen behind it. And so I think like a woman, I feel like a woman. Mm. That's how I'm driven, my sex drive, everything. And people can't get their heads around that it's a piece of flesh and it's no different. Where... with most trans men, they actually get a bit of that rubbing it against the wall and all kinds of stuff. Like they're like teenage boys in that sense. But people don't understand that.
It just frustrates me. It's back to the frustrating level of acceptance again in the world.
And this is what I've been having to deal with my whole life. And so, but when it comes down to that sense of, I don't want anybody to know, I just want to hide it. I don't want anybody to know where I came from. I just want to, because I don't want to be dealing with no work. I don't want to be dealing with dating issues. I don't want to be, you know, for me being out, it affects even dating.
Mm. So it's the same as like the plebiscite, how I think us three in the room won't be affected as much by the plebiscite as what our youth would be.
Absolutely.
We're sort of a little bit well, over that stage of our
life. If I went to date a man and he and I started dating and all kinds of stuff, and we got to a point where we wanted to get married, I couldn't marry him.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I'm a woman, he's a man.
I see.
Oh.
Yeah.
My birth certificate sense. Still says male because I still have a penis.
It's got nothing to do with you being an American.
But no. There you go.
Y'all.
Always bring it back.
But back to the... There's three parliamentarians in our upper house right now that are deciding this, and two from the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party. No idea what they stand for. They don't sound very promising, though.
No.
And independent MP James Purcell. So, James Purcell, I'm sure he's a big listener of the radio show.
Absolutely.
Vote for it, mate. Vote for it.
And I think what concerns me is because if someone has to have surgery that will make them infertile, how somebody feels when they're 18, 20, 30 or reaching their 40s or beyond will be completely different how they're going to feel about fertility. And one of these processes will actually make them completely infertile.
And look, and I knew I was dealing with a gender issue since I was 4. I didn't quite understand it, but I knew what it was. And I sat down and talked one-on-one with trans children. I know what they're going through. I know what they're feeling. They know more about themselves than you'd have probably this whole time in your life. Mm. They're switched on.
Yeah.
But again, who I was at 23 and who I, if I had transitioned at 23 and who I am now is totally different. And I probably still wouldn't have had surgery then, but what if I wanted the option to have children later? Well, then they've basically told me I can't have children.
The biggest...
Do they understand that issue?
No, I don't think so.
They don't.
But the biggest thing I have learnt tonight, Michelle said she's nearly 40. She does not look nearly 40. You're lying. I reckon you're about 28. You're younger than me, I reckon.
Everyone says that.
Everyone says that.
I think I've gained like 20 years on estrogen. There it is. There's a fountain of youth. All right. You're listening to Family Matters. We'll be back shortly.
Hey, hello. Hey, Gina. We're back. You're listening to Family Matters. Hey, I hear Robbie's got his mom on later.
I heard Mandy is coming on tonight.
We have traveled in a time machine about 40 years.
We have. Because you know what week it is this week?
What week is it there?
It is Victorian Seniors Week.
Is it?
That's right.
There you go.
Didn't you see something in the train? You walked in and go, there was this stuff at the train station.
I saw the girls coming off the train, not in blue-haired ladies. They were kind of hot.
Michelle, put your teeth back in.
Love it.
And I saw the stand, and there was a different magazine that said seniors. I like that.
I keep thinking of that weird old guy on Family Guy. That really creeped me out.
Was it the one who does it?
Why, hello there.
Yes, that's the one.
Hello, Christopher.
Oh, no.
Now, Dave.
That scares me.
How about I give you an icy pole there, Dave?
Oh, no, thanks.
Brilliant.
Icy pole. We've talked enough about ice tonight anyway, so let's not go on that.
I'm so glad it's going to be cold the next few days and I'm just going to want a hot cup of tea that defrosts everything.
I do like your Kermit the Frog as well, Michelle.
But I did want to touch on something. I mean,
we're not touching on the seniors.
Oh, we're not touching on the seniors. We love our seniors. But on the topic of seniors and Dave and I trying to flood the airways to get more votes, I do also hang out with the boys from Outtakes on Monday night on the film show.
Now everyone confuses you for a boy every now and then.
Well, that's why I think I'm still allowed on the show. But we touched on seniors in film and we had a brilliant guest come on who's one of our best advocates for LGBT elders and told us some of the stuff that's happening for Seniors Week, including there's a high tea on tomorrow and I think they've even got another high tea. They like their tea. So clearly,
hey, if I need a date, I know where to go. Drinks. You want to come with me, Dave, and
hashtag,
be my wingman?
Hashtag find Dave. Have a date. Where's Beck tonight?
Well, you can go to maybe this high tea because they like their pop and they want to be dancing around to it.
Take some blue rinse with you. You'll be right.
But I want to touch on something that was said that kind of, I think because my focus is on this show and focus on the families that we're looking to advocate and create voices for. And I forgot that when we think of the plebiscite and all the stuff that comes out, we're always like, think of the kids and think about how this is affecting them. And we should. But a voice that we're not, I know I felt very ashamed when it finally entered my mind, we're not thinking about our elders. Mm. Now, when we think of, when I've thought of elders, I just thought people like myself who've just been gay all this time and coming out. But
elders.
No.
Jean, you're not that old.
Well, I'm not there yet. But there are so many people, and Catherine was telling us the story of people who, once they lose their self-dependence, if their family are not comfortable with their sexuality, actually end up, it becomes transphobia and homophobia all over again. And we need to be thinking about people that are much older than us that are vulnerable. Not vulnerable because of their care, but they might have just only come out recently.
So am I bringing the girls in from the bingo class next week?
We got seniors
yoga as well.
Yes,
Two fat ladies, 88.
Two fat ladies. So we need to also be thinking about our seniors and how this vitriol can be affecting them.
Yeah, look, and I had seen some of the memes that came through as well, and it seemed kind of funny yet sad at the same time. And you'd see this photo of these folks who were from a reality TV show of like getting married, and then there's this old couple sitting there holding hands, and these two guys looked, they'd been together for how many years? And they're like, oh, so these people here on a reality marriage show are doing this.
But
so,
seriously, if you hold hands, can we just hold hands? Just
hang on, I've got to pray. I'm so short, I can't reach. Grab man's hand.
The world just needs to hold hands and get over all the crap that goes on with it and stop discriminating every single person.
And Dave will give you a gin and tonic. With ice.
Yeah. Like, well, it is an older person's drink, so maybe that's why I like gin and tonics.
The only people I dislike is Collingwood supporters. Like, that's enough. Oh. That's okay, isn't it?
Did you say Carlton or Collingwood?
Both.
Well, you have been listening to Family Matters. Thanks for listening. You can get us on our heart page on joy.org.au/family matters.
Podcast should be up by the weekend, I promise. And please support our seniors at Seniors Week. Don't forget to support our seniors.
Don't forget. Say goodnight to your mom for me.
Bye, Grandma.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.